Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and compassion and empowerment. We're so glad to have you here with us today, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you now join us with devotion? We're going to have a song by June Rochelle, His Eyes on the Sparrow. And then we're going to have the scripture by Dr. Nux and prayer as we begin.
Thank you.
Amen. You there, Dr. Nuss?
Our scripture is taken from Isaiah. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Our scripture is taken from Isaiah chapter 43. Verses 14 through 21. It's from the New International Reader's Version. The Lord sets his people free. He is the Holy One of Israel, he says. People of Israel, I will send an army to Babylon to save you. I will cause all of the Babylonians to run away. They will try to escape in the ships they were so proud of. I am your Lord and King. I am your Holy One. I created you. Long ago, the Lord opened a way for his people to go through the Red Sea. He made a path through the mighty waters. He caused Egypt to send out its chariots and horses. He sent its entire army to its death. Its soldiers lay down there. They never got up again. They were destroyed. They were blown out like a dimly lit flame. But the Lord says, forget the things that happened in the past. Do not keep on thinking about them. I am about to do something new. It is beginning to happen even now. Don't you see it coming? I'm going to make a way for you to go through the desert. I will make streams of water in the dry and empty land. Even wild dogs and owls honor me. That is because I provide water in the desert for my people to drink. I cause streams to flow in the dry, empty land for my chosen ones. I do it for the people I made for myself. I want them to sing praise to me.
Amen. Amen. You bow your heads with me and join me in prayer. God, we come before you and we're just celebrating this day because, Lord, we're able to come before your throne and to request, first of all, to honor and glorify you, for you are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord, for being Jehovah Jireh, one who provides and the God that leads and directs our path. We thank you for watching over us this day. We thank you for bringing us to this place where we can learn of you. We can change our talk and to make it our walk. We can be all the things that you've asked us to be, oh God, as we watch you and try to mimic and walk in your way. Today we are studying, trying to understand how to rejuvenate hope through a right relationship with you. Help us, oh God, as we come to refresh, rejuvenate, and be renewed. We ask these blessings now in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are so excited about tonight and how we can actually come to the Lord and talk about some very, very important things to us. So how many, can we get a roll call to see who's on the line tonight?
Mark Bryant.
Awesome. Lester Carver. I heard him.
Brother
James.
Carter.
Okay,
Brother Carter.
I heard you, Brother Carter. We got you.
Donald Thompson, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay, Brother Thompson. Glad to have you on the line tonight. So we have a great opportunity tonight to share. And we're going to talk about, again, our topic tonight is being in right relationship with God. And so this month, we only have one more week after tonight, and our theme has been rejuvenating hope. And as we've gone through the chapter in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, specifically looking at the 14th through the 21st verses, We've talked about how God is sovereign and in control, how we need to look back and remember how God has brought us through. And then the following week, the week after that, we talked about how we can't be caught up in what God did for us in the past, but we got to look forward and forget what God has done, in the sense of understanding that what God is going to do is far greater, will exceed far greater anything that we've seen in the past, and we are going to rely on where God is taking us in the future and what God is going to do for us in the future, knowing that the best is yet to come. And then the week after that, we talked about looking out and beholding, understand that God wants to do a new thing in our lives, but we have to be open and receptive to that. And tonight we're talking about being in right relationship with God and how that will refresh, rejuvenate, and renew us, renew our hope in that relationship. So I had a quick question that I wanted to start us off with, and I'm going to pick on my brother Lester Carver. Well, is Mark, are you on the phone?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm gonna pick on my brother Mark because he hasn't been on in a while. So I'm gonna give him a hard time tonight. I love you, brother. but I want to ask the question to you, and that is, what do you do? What causes a relationship to dry up? What causes a relationship to dry up?
This is Mark. I think what causes a relationship to dry up is non-communication.
Okay. Non-communication.
Mm-hmm.
Sean knows over there, too.
Is Sean
there?
No, she's not. She's not.
Okay. Is anybody else? Thank you, Mark, for leading us in that discussion there. So the question is, what causes a relationship to dry up? And we got the first point is communication can cause a relationship to dry up. Anybody else? I guess nobody else has had a dried up relationship, Mark.
Well, this is
what
James.
Else?
This is James.
Yes.
Either party in the relationship is not really committed to the relationship, or they really don't want to be a part of the relationship, or they're not doing what is necessary to keep the relationship together. I mean, either one or both or whoever's in the relationship is not contributing to the relationship to keep it together, then it's going to dry up.
Okay, so the first one is communication. The second point is commitment on either party. Anybody else?
Yeah, no intimacy.
Lester said no intimacy.
No intimacy. Oh, that's good, Brother Lester. No intimacy. I can rely on Lester to get deep.
This is Brett.
Woo!
This is Brett.
Brother Brett, makes a relationship dry up?
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I've been studying Donald Trump and his wife, and there is definitely some hatred between both of them. But, well, the thing is, I've been looking at some tapes off of YouTube, and she stepped up on the stage, and he took her finger and twisted it, and then she had to turn right around and smile. So there's definitely something going on. But here's my take on the question. I think when two people come together and they are, quote-unquote, in love with each other, they're under like a bubble. I've explained this to Dr. Susie before. But once you're in that bubble, something will happen. It can be little nitpicking type things, or it can be an argument over money or something, but something will bust that bubble. Once that bubble is busted, then if you don't repair it, then that relationship is going to go downhill, and it can go downhill fast, because then you have more arguments, then you have mistrust, then you have back and forth, one person accusing the other, and people forget why they came together in the first place. And I think a lot of it just has to do with life in general, people not prepared to really make a commitment and make that marriage work or that relationship work.
Okay, so I'm trying to narrow that down to a point. Rick, give it to me in a point form so I can
they,
have that point.
They,
what's the point there?
They lost what it was that attracted them to each other.
Okay. Is there anybody else?
I heard somebody in the background, but I couldn't understand
is there anybody else who wants to talk before I come up home? What is this that you understand will cause a relationship to dry up?
This is James, a lack of trust.
A lack
Amen.
Of trust. Brother Donald, did you have anything you wanted to add?
All of them sound good to me. Everything I was going to add, everybody already has said. A lack of trust and a lack of understanding one another, and maybe a goal. Maybe the two people need to have a goal that they both want to reach together, and not just one person. Yes, well, a goal for what they want to accomplish, a goal that they want to accomplish together, you know, not just one goal for one person and another person just tagging along. It should be an equal thing that the two people want to reach together.
Okay.
This is where I got one more for you.
Okay.
Lack of a foundation and selfishness.
Lack of foundation.
Yes, no foundation for the relationship to stand on. And then people
no
get
foundation.
Selfish. Yeah, then people get selfish too.
Okay. Those are some good points on what causes relationships to dry up. So I want us to take that thought, everything we just talked about. We talked about no communication or poor communication. We talked about lack of commitment, lack of intimacy, the loss of forgetting what attracted them, the first love, lack of trust. Lack of a common goal and going in the same direction, no foundation, and selfishness. So I want us to take those very things that we just used right there, those very things we just talked about, and let's apply those that we can to our relationship with God. Because the scripture says being in right relationship, it talks about being in right relationship, being that the fact that we are chosen. So as we look in Isaiah 43, It says, and that the verse we're looking at tonight, which is 20 and 21, can anybody read that scriptural verse? And before you go out, we got one more person, Pastor Diggs. I just wanted to let you know, tonight we're talking about being in right relationship with God and how we ask the question, what causes a relationship to dry up? And those things that we're talking about at this point of lack of communication, lack of commitment, no intimacy, a loss of what attracted them, their first love, the lack of trust, common goal working together, what that's established, no foundation and selfishness. And so as we look at those things, I had asked if we could now go to the text, which is Isaiah 43, and I wanted us to look at the 20th and the 21st verses. And this, who has the New Living Translation?
I do. It's James.
Okay. If James, if you will read that, Lester, what version do you have? Lester, what version do you have?
Bible.
You have the Message?
Yes.
No, he has the New Living. I have the Message if you don't have it. What do you have? What's your version?
What version of the Message?
No. Does he have the Message Bible? Okay, if
yes.
He's got the Message Bible, that's good. If he would read, Dr. Nix is going to read the 20th and the 21st. If you would read the 20th and the 21st, that would be great.
What is the passage again?
Isaiah 43, 20 and 21.
Okay.
So, Dr. Nix, if you start while he's looking for it.
Okay, the wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and owls, too. For giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland, so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we're focusing on the fact that God has called them his chosen people that he is forming for himself. What does yours say, Lester?
There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. Wild animals will
just
say thank you, the coyotes and the buzzards, because I provided water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I chose, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. But you didn't pay a bit of attention to me, Jacob.
That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
Yeah, okay.
So read that piece right again when you said, right after you said you formed them for myself. Custom, did you say custom made?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It said
so I hear these words chosen, formed for myself, custom made. Is there anybody else who's got something different? So let's talk about that. What does that mean to be chosen, made for God, custom made? What does that mean to us? Anybody, what does that mean to you all personally? It's got to mean something special.
This is Lester. I'm sorry. It means that God selected us. And there is a value in being chosen and being selected. And what happens in most relationships is people forget that it is an honor and a privilege to be chosen, to be selected, that there were so many other people that were bypassed in order to decide, you're the one that I want to enter into relationship with. You're the one I want to be intimate with. You're the one I want to communicate with. You're the one I want to solve problems with. And somewhere along the line, usually after raising children or having children, we forget why we selected to enter into relationship.
Amen.
Hey, Dr. Sus-
okay, Brother
Sus-
Brett.
Yeah. Every time I hear something that God is talking about, his chosen, his people, it takes me back to Genesis, the first chapter, when God created the earth and he created man, when he said, let us create man in our image for his pleasure so that he could have his own people and follow them throughout. And that's what I get from this. When he refers back to that, in mine, mine's the New International, it says, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And that always reminds me that he made man to praise him. That's it.
Amen. Anybody else?
Well, this is James. I like that custom made. That says so much. Brett and Lester said it. I mean, but we were made by God to praise God.
Amen.
And it just doesn't seem right when we don't, especially those that are part of God. Your life does not seem right if you don't praise God. I mean, we are custom made for that purpose. And if we don't honor God, it seems like everything in our life is wrong. I mean, it just doesn't.
Come on.
Things don't
Come
click
on.
Right. I mean, the cylinders don't click right. The day doesn't go right. Our families
mm-hmm.
don't go right. I mean, just Brett talked earlier about not having a foundation
there
in
you
your
go.
Relationship. If you don't have the foundation, why are we here? You know, what is our purpose? And our purpose
mm-hmm.
is to praise God. I mean, we were custom made. I mean, I think of an assembly line, not an assembly line, but I think of a shop of tool makers and custom designing every little piece and making it all fit right. And the engine has to run right. And if we have one little thing wrong,
there you go.
Then the engine doesn't run right. We're amazing. I mean, God is amazing, and God has made us to praise him. And that's wonderful. That's a wonderful privilege. And when you don't praise God, I don't know about you all, but it just my life doesn't seem right. My life
Come
doesn't.
On.
It doesn't go right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is anybody else on the line want to speak to that about how does that feel to you to understand that you are custom made, that you are chosen? Because few are chosen. How does that feel to know that you have that, as Lester was saying, that honor and privilege? How does that feel? What comes to mind when you understand that? Reverend Diggs or Jamie or anybody else on the line? Do you want to have anything to say?
This is Mark. What it says to me is that it's an honor to have not only the DNA of Jesus, but his recognition that he chose my specific DNA to have a relationship with, to not only save me and deliver me, but to uplift me and take me through each and every situation.
Amen. Amen. You know, this is Dr. Susie. What jumps out at me? Go ahead. Who wants to talk? I hear somebody saying something. What jumps out at me, this is Dr. Susie, is that the hope that who I am, because see, God knows everything about me because I was custom made. So even though I don't think I'm all that in a bag of chips, maybe, you know, even though I fall short and may have done something that's not perfect, or even though I know that I'm not as good as somebody else in another area of my life, God says that I was chosen. And it's something about me that God deemed worthy. Come on, somebody.
Hello.
To give his life. Come on,
Go
think
ahead.
About that. And I could just shout just with that little bit. I don't know about you all, but it's something about when I know what God knows. Come on, y'all know who you are. And knowing that because we fall short and God loved us and designed us and made us and loves us so much that it says for myself, I was created for God, for God's self. Wow, that's just deep to me. That's just deep to me. That's just deep
Amen.
To me. Okay, so we
Dr.
have the understanding. Yes.
No, this is Brett. I was going to just say one other thing. The reason why I'm always drawn back to Genesis, the first chapter, is because my dad, him being a minister, taught me a long time ago that God does everything in a precise order. When he formed the earth, the earth had waters upon it. He didn't make man and put man in the earth because there was no dry land. That's why you can't take a relationship, and we always say you can't have a marriage or a house on sinking sand because that's going to wash away. And so our belief in God has to have a foundation. And if you don't have that foundation, then you're not going to have salvation. There you go.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing when we talk about communication. I think it was Brother Mark who talked about communication. You know, if we're not praying to God, if we're not doing our due diligence to build a relationship, that's like saying you got a girlfriend and you don't call and you think everything is okay. I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think that
James.
Works that way. Yeah,
that's correct.
This got me to thinking about how Satan tries to steal our worship. Because if Satan can steal our worship, then we don't function right. I just thought of how all the things that discourage us from worship. I mean, they don't sing the songs we want. The preacher don't preach like we want. The church don't act like we want. But this says, I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care if the song choir is singing in the key is X, Y, and Z. I still need to worship God. But Satan tries to take all these things. I mean, we have problems at home, and it upsets our worship. We don't want to go to church because we're in a feud with somebody. God is saying, worship me. I don't care what's going on. Worship me. Even in your stormy times, worship me. And I can say, peace be still. But Satan tries to use all that stuff to take away our worship. Because he knows that if he can take away our worship, that it's going to make us not function as we should as the body of Christ. And he does all these things to try to take that away and upset it.
Amen.
Well, the interesting thing for me, this is Dr. Susie, when we talk about the relationship, you know, that's what, when we come into, well, let me ask the question. Worship is not necessarily what you do in a congregation. We talked about this before.
No, it's not. Yeah.
What is worship? What is worship? Anybody? I'm going to pick on Lester. Lester, what do you think worship is?
Okay. Well, you know where God says that we will worship him in spirit and in truth? Well, one of the ways that you worship God in spirit is by speaking in tongues. It says that it is perfect worship to God, and we're speaking mysteries to God. When you speak of being intimate with God, that's one of the ways we do that.
Okay, what do you think is worship? Anybody else?
Yeah, this
we
is James.
We add to Lester's understanding.
This is James. Worship is to be interpreted as worth-ship. So God is worth-ship. So, I mean, whatever we do, giving God praise, is worship. In other words, my work can be worship if I'm giving God praise in my work. My song can be worship. My teaching can be worship. My writing can be worship when I give God the praise, and God is worthy of my work and my deeds and my actions. So my life should be worship. That's why I said, if I don't worship, then everything is out of kilter.
Anybody else have understand what they perceive worship to be, or no worship to be for them? Who else has an idea of worship?
This is Brett. Worship to me is not about whether you speak in tongue or not, because speaking in tongue is a gift that's given by the Holy Spirit, and not everybody is going to have that gift. However, we all can worship God, because that is nothing but an expression of reverence that we show towards Him by keeping His commandments, yeah. by doing what He asks us to do, spreading the word. That is all showing reverence to Him. And in some ways, you do the same thing with your spouse when you say you're in love with them. You are showing reverence towards them too, because you hold them in high esteem. And that's what we do with God, or at least that's what we should be doing, is holding Him in high esteem. Some people talk about people will put other people on the pedestal, but we forget we got to have God on the pedestal, because He is our everything.
Amen.
And that's what worship means to me.
This is Dr. Susie. To me, when we go to the Greek word, it's proskuneo, and it means to prostrate oneself or to fall down or bow down before. And that attitude is not necessarily physical, but it's your attitude of spirit. It's an attitude of humility. It's an attitude, an internal attitude that we do most of the time when we're interacting with God, that we have bowed down and humbled in relationship to worship God, to give God due homage or due reverence or due praise or due humility. It's just kind of like, for me, I think somebody already said how we have to do this in spirit and truth. We bring our authentic selves before God to bear our souls and to commune. To me, that is authentic worshiping. And there are some things that go with the qualifications of how to manifest that and make it more solidified. But basically, it's how we approach, you know, our attitude in which we approach God. And it's amazing to me that we can do this 24/7. You know, yes,
amen,
we do it in church, do it individually and collectively. But when we go to God with a spirit of authenticity, of worship God in spirit and truth, of truthfulness, where our hearts and minds are tuned in and connected to God, that's something that God loves. The spirit is a truthful heart that's presented to God. It's an attitude in which we bring our true selves to God. And I think that's what we need to understand is that when God is saying in this chapter in Isaiah that He's going to restore this land, restore the people, so He can bring these celebrating people back to Himself. And so we don't study the Bible, right, just to gain information. When we come to the scripture, we come to do what? To meet God. That's why we
do.
We come to meet God. If we truly want to know God, then we have to look into the Word of God and worship, to listen to God, to bring our full authentic selves to God, and share what's in our hearts so that God can strengthen us, lead us, guide us, and help us to be workmen approved. And so,
amen,
you know, I think it's really important. And God makes this clear because he says, these are the people I formed for myself. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Britt. I was going to say, through worship, wouldn't you say that we grow in knowledge and faithfulness?
Through relationship and worship, that's exactly what we do. Tonight, that's what we're trying to talk about, is this right relationship. And we grow through this relationship. We become refreshed in our relationship. We become rejuvenated in this relationship. We become renewed in this relationship. Because God promises something. If we go to Isaiah 43:1, if we could turn to that, Isaiah 43:1. Lester, you have the good news. You have the Message Bible. You have the Message Bible, Isaiah 43:1.
Isaiah 43:1 in the Message Bible says, but now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid, I've redeemed you. I've called your name, you're mine.
Amen.
Can you read it on down?
Sure. When you're
read
down
on down
your head,
to
I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior, I paid a huge price for all of Egypt with rich Cush and Sheba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you.
Man.
Wow. Wow.
My goodness.
Anybody else have a different version?
Yeah, I've got different versions.
I
want to
read.
You want, which?
I have the NIV. What do you have? You got the NLT? Let me read the NIV while you get the NLT. My NIV version says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Thank you, Lord. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your lives.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's some deep love. Anybody else have one? James, is yours a little different in New Living Translation?
A little. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You're honored. And I love you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, everybody kind of, let's talk about what jumps out at you in as you hear God talk about relationship, the relationship with God. What is it that helps that God is saying here? What would refresh you, rejuvenate you, renew you because of what you just heard? What jumps out at you?
This is Brett.
God is going to be with us.
Brett.
God is just saying that he loves us unconditionally and he would do anything for us, which he has.
Amen. That's what, anybody else get something to jump out at them, Brother Mark?
This is Mark. You know, what jumps out at me is it's such a intense love letter. You know, where he talks about not only have I redeemed you, I will give other lives for you, that I will always be with you, that, you know, that that he will do basically anything and everything for us. And so that intensity is definitely demonstrated in that passage.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And we've seen that in the scripture when he, you know, when the Egyptians were drowned in the sea. We saw this when God protected God's own, and those who were trying to destroy God's people were consumed by the waves. Rise to rise no more. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. James, what jumped out at you? Brother James.
What jumped out at me, this is what has God been doing for us all our lives to show this love? I mean, he talks about this being done for Israel, but we are a part of God. Christ is our Savior. We become a part of the body of Christ. And God, what is God doing for us now that maybe we aren't even aware of, and that we maybe take for granted? I mean, we take for granted so much. And how many things is God lining up in our lives? What is God doing to influence our worship, our praise? What is God doing to protect us? God, I mean, there's a whole lot that's going on. It makes me just get excited about, you know, God is there. I don't always see the things that are happening, but things just happen in life. And sometimes there are things that seem to be painful, but in the long run, maybe that's what God is doing to help us. You know, it just makes me aware of the fact that God loves us so much that God is preparing a way for us.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Lester, or Cassandra, or Brother Diggs. Is there anything that jumps out at you, Cassandra, about this love relationship?
Yes. I like when he said, we walked through the fire and you shall not be burned. Shall the flame scorch you. I like that. That's just like good. Wow.
Me too.
You know, God is good.
Me too. I like that too. I like that too. Anybody else? Brother Diggs, is there something that jumps out at you, or anybody else that wanted to share something? Oklahoma?
And then he said, "For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, of your Savior." Yeah, I like that. That was jumped out at me.
Amen.
I hear that, and like Brother Mark said, is what an intense love letter.
Amen.
You know, I don't know. Have you ever heard the saying that my mother used to say, or they used to say when I was younger, "Oh, that man will go through fire with gasoline drawers on for you."
Yeah, I heard that before.
Have y'all heard that? Have y'all heard that? Somebody heard that? Well, I think of that when it says, "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned."
Right.
So,
yeah, but
no
your
matter
mother
how
would
you
also
walk
tell you
through the fire for you.
Right. Yeah, but your mother also would add, "Don't hurt him."
I never heard that part. It's the idea that no matter how difficult it is, that God is going through for you. That no matter, Amen. You know, and he says, and when we have to go through, God is going to protect us such that no matter how severe it is, God is there and he's protecting, whether it's water, whether Amen. It's fire, whether it's any of the elements that we are aware of, that we don't have to be concerned because God has us. And I think that is so deep.
Amen.
I mean,
this is Brother Carver, and my
yes.
grandson Jake said something, had something he wanted to say.
Say, go ahead, Jake.
Say, my name is Jake.
My name is Jake.
And then say, God is good.
God is good.
All right.
Awesome,
he just
Jake.
Wanted to say,
awesome.
God is good.
Amen.
Awesome,
Amen.
Jake. God is surely good. That's an awesome relationship piece. It's to understand how good God is to us and why that's so important in our relationship. Because we got to remember, somebody was talking about the commitment. When we
mm-hmm.
understand how, mm-hmm. you know, we joined, we said that we wanted God to be our God and we would be God's people. That's the commitment that we made when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, meaning that we're in this. And as a part of being a part of this, God has said, I got you. I'm going to go through fire with gasoline draws on for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through, I'm going to protect you so
Amen.
You don't have to worry about the fire. You know, and then
right.
to look at the
Amen.
Fact that if we talked about loss, you know, the first love, we lost the first love. God, again, is restoring, renewing, reminding us that commitment that we made initially, he's good for it. But what about mm-hmm. us? You know, Dr. Nooks was saying earlier, what is God doing to influence our relationship? What is God doing in your life right now to get you to remember that you need to be committed, that you need to communicate, that you need to have intimacy with God, that you need to trust God, that you need to remember the foundation, that you need to not be selfish and be obedient? And understand that your life is no longer your own, but you promised and committed to let God lead, God, and direct you.
All
That's
right.
deep. Come on, somebody. What is God saying?
Yep. Hey, Dr. Susie, this is Britt. Now, there's one thing that we all don't realize, but God shows us every day. We have a body that requires no battery pack. We don't have to charge up somewhere. But we eat and we continue to go. And every time we lay down and get up, that should be a sign to each of us that God loves us because he allowed us to see another day.
Amen. Yes.
And that's automatic. Amen. But we take it for granted. Like, hey, we're supposed to wake up in the morning. Or we're supposed to wake up and do this. Hey, but that's not guaranteed.
Amen.
I'm done.
Amen. Can I get somebody to get Isaiah 41:8-13, or at least 8-10?
41:8-10,
or.
But you
or 8
are,
through 13, either one. Okay, go ahead.
But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its region. And I have to say to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and I have not cast you away. For I am with you. Be dismayed, for I am your God. Your God, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were in descent against you and shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as was at nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who are the war against you, shall be nothing as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Amen. Fear
Amen.
Not,
Amen.
Your warm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
You want
Amen. To keep reading?
Amen.
No, that's good. So does anybody have another version, like the Messenger? Can we get that or the New Living Translation?
Just a regular Bible. Oh, okay.
Anybody got
which
the New Living Translation or the Message? You can do
yeah,
the. Which one do you have? Do the New Living. I think Lester's got the Message. Do the New Living, James.
Okay, starting at verse
8.
But as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant, for I have chosen you, and I will throw you, and I will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. You want to just read the 10?
The 13.
See all your enemies, angry enemies, lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. For I hold you by my right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you.
Amen.
Amen. So, Lester, did you have a Message?
Yes. Now, which chapter again was that?
41 verse 8.
Through 13 says, but you, Israel, are my servant. You're Jacob, my first choice, descendants of my good friend Abraham. I pulled you in from all over the world, called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you you're my servant, serving on my side. I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There is no need to fear, for I am your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip on you. Count on it. Everyone who had it in for you will end up out and in the cold. Real losers. Those who worked against you will end up empty-handed. Joke of their lives.
Come on.
When you go out looking for your old adversaries, you won't find them. Not a trace of your old enemy, not even a memory. That's right, because I, your God, have a firm grip on you, and I'm not letting go. I'm telling you, don't panic. I'm right here to help
you. Amen. Amen. So what does that say, Lester? What does it say, Lester?
It really says, you know, why would they not trust in a God who has done so much for them and continues to do so much for them and has documented that in writing.
And the question to us is, why can't we trust a God who has documented? Just make it specific to us. So when we cross when we bring the information to the razor's edge, how does that manifest to us today?
Well, today, what we have to be able to do is go to the New Testament and read in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where God tells us be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? So God paid the ultimate price through his son Jesus Christ so that we could be in relationship with him. One of those interpretations of that word worship is the Greek word eucharista, which is grateful language. So a lot of times when we come to God and we're frustrated or we're fearful or we're doubtful, we'll just talk to him like he's anybody. And you've heard spouses speak to their spouse as if they were some stranger. And God says, when you speak to me, speak like you know who you're talking to. Speak with grateful language. Be thankful and acknowledge
right.
I am to you so that we can be in relationship.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Nooks, can you share what that means to you?
It means that God is going to be with us in all situations. And even when our enemies come against us and we get concerned about enemies defeating us, but God is saying that they're going to be defeated. They're going to be humiliated, those that oppose us, because God holds us with his right hand, his victorious right hand. So if God has us in God's hand, and then we're going to make it. And that's an important thing for the body of Christ to understand, is that we're going to make it.
Amen.
God is already, we already have eternal
Somebody
life.
Somebody snoring on the phone.
But God is protecting us even right now. And we're going to make it. You're going to make it.
Amen.
You're God's chosen
people. So for us, amen. And so kind of important to me as I'm listening and I'm hearing this is when I look at a relationship that's dried up and I go back to my first love, I go back, as we talked about, in establishing that common goal, that foundation, and I acknowledge the fact that I need the intimacy of understanding who what God is saying. He's saying time and time again, you are my personal choice. I'm going to read for you as we close Isaiah, the 44th chapter, the first verse, 1 through 5. It says, "But for now, dear servants, Jacob, listen. Yes, you, Israel, my personal choice. God who made you has something to say to you. The God who formed you in the womb wants to help you. Don't be afraid, dear servant Jacob. Jeshurun, the special way he calls them, the one I chose." And God is sharing. He goes on to say, he goes on to explain all in detail. I'm going to read it all. It'll only take a second. It says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty ground and send streams coursing through the parched earth. I will pour my spirit into your descendants and bless my blessings on your children. They shall sprout like grass on the prairie, like willows alongside creeks. This one will say, I am God's, and another will go by the name Jacob. That one will write on his hands, God's property, and be proud to be called Israel." You know, wow, God's property. God's property. I belong to God. I have this relationship in which I belong to God. I renew my relationship. I don't renew it, but my relationship is renewed and refreshed because of the intimacy, because of the commitment, because of the communication, because of the fact that I've renewed my first love, because I have built trust, because we have this common goal of God being mine and I'm being his and I'm true, because my foundation is set and I understand that I have been placed in a situation where I'm God's property, and no matter what happens, no water, no elements of this earth, no fire is going to keep me from the love of God. Nothing is going to God's not going to allow anything to damage this relationship or to keep me from being in because I've been chosen, because I'm God's.
Amen.
Because we've agreed, we're in covenant. It's, you know, anybody else, you know, want to talk about that. Mark, what did you get? You know, you started us off so strong in the communication piece, and you brought forth the idea that this is an awesome love letter. What are the last words that you would have the people understand from understanding that as we have this relationship with God, as we're trying to rejuvenate hope, what can we share?
Well, Mark isn't here, but this is what I'll share.
Okay.
Is that just as Israel was celebrated as God's property, God's servant, we are in a more favorable position because God refers to us as sons. We are his children by virtue of him having paid for us with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And
amen.
We have to understand that beyond property of God, we are children of God. And that is an elevated status that should be celebrated because that allows us to be one. The Jews and Gentiles are all one body of Christ, and that is the great mystery.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lester. So, Brett, what's one thing you would share? Go ahead, as we close.
Okay. As I've heard everybody reading everything, and myself included, I think people in the radio audience need to understand that this passage that we've been into tonight is so relevant to today's time. We got 4 years, as I put it, of hell that we have to go through, but God has us. He's telling us that he has us, that we don't have to worry. He has never lied to us. He'll never lie to you. And if you believe in him, he will see you through all of this that we're getting ready to go through.
Mm.
That's it.
Anybody else? Dr. Nooks, what would you share?
I would share that I'm excited about the relationship that we have with God, and we ought to not take it for granted. And we ought to really celebrate and understand that God is with us and God is preparing ways for us even now. And even throughout all of our lives, God has been making a way for us. And it's exciting what God is going to do. And God talks about doing a new thing, and I'm excited about that. Just to know that God is there with us and we are in relationship with God ought to cause... It causes me to rejoice and feel better about my todays and tomorrows because I have faith in God. And and those that are part of God should have a faith, and have that
Amen.
Faith also.
This is Mark.
Yes.
One of the things that I would share is some of the verbiage that people use today. That God has you, you know, in each and every instance, whether we believe it, whether we receive it, whether we acknowledge it, whether we respond to it, whether we choose to view it, God has us. And, I mean, he had us from creation. He had us, you know, until we decided, you know, to call out his name and then he wrapped our DNA with his, and then decided that he was going to take us on this trip to reconcile, you know, human and mankind, including himself. And so it's an honor to be chosen and recognize that God has us. And even though we may not see all the how to get through each and every valley, God is with us, and God will protect us.
Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share tonight what you'd like to share with the radio audience so that they have another take home? Is there anybody else who'd like to share something from the night? This is Dr. Susie, if there's no one else. I guess I began to think about sometimes I think we forget as we are in a relationship sometimes when we think it's dry, when we think it's not what we would like it to be with God. And it's funny, Jeremiah said, it's in relationship to what Brother Brett said. He was telling the story about how that we have to understand what we are in God. And there's several scriptures that comes to mind. I was thinking about the Jeremiah passage where I can't remember, maybe the 18th somewhere, and it talks about how the word went to Jeremiah and he told him to go to the potter's house. And he talked about how there was a vessel made of clay in the hand that was ruined in the potter's hand, and he had to make again another vessel. So sometimes we can be in a relationship and we may not be doing everything we can, or we may have fallen short. And so,
all right,
as the potter's house, as long as we stay on the wheel, he took the clay and he says, "You're in my hand." And like the potter and the vessel, God holds us in God's hand. He sees flaws in our lives. He crushes us sometimes, and we have to deal with the tribulations. Like a potter throws the clay down onto the wheel and has to get all the air out so that he can make it more pliable. But, you know, most of the times we come to these issues because of our bad decisions. But during this trial and tribulation, he continues to hold his loving arms around us. And through the difficulties, he's reforming us, he's renewing us, he's rejuvenating us, he's giving us hope that we can also Amen. Understand that he has put something special in us, and that is a right spirit. And when we bring forth that rightness, that attitude of authentic praise, worship, and reverence for God, that we can remember that he's got us. Somebody said, I think it was you, Brett, who talked about how we don't have to worry about it. And it's when the young folks would say about a relationship is, you know, we're good, you know.
All right.
We're good with that person. You know, we're good with God. He's got us. He's controlling the situation. And that's our leadership. That's where we go. That's who we follow. We don't have to worry about anything else in this world other than that relationship and keeping our eye on God. And I think that's what's the key thing, as we've talked about, that as God is taking these children of Israel and he's telling them that God is sovereign in their lives, we can look back and remember, and then he's telling us we can look forward and forget, knowing that the best is yet to come. And then he's saying we can look out and behold, because God is doing a new thing in our lives. And then this week he's saying, I got you. We're in this right relationship. I'm going to refresh, renew, rejuvenate you, and restore your hope, because I got you. No matter what happens, water, rain, fire, I got you. You're in my hand, and I'm holding you tight.
Amen.
So with that in mind, Dr. Nooks, if you could close us out. I had some questions. Are there any praise reports or prayer requests that we need to offer up before we close for tonight?
This is Mark.
I ask for prayer for our country.
We ask for prayer for Sean and our father, Lester Carver and his business. Prayer for me and my business and for opportunities. And just prayer for our family. Amen.
Amen. And I ask as well prayer for our country, prayer for our Congress, our president, prayer for Warren Buffett says some things, and I'm praying that we can get to the point of walking into that and trying to do some special things in this new presidency, and trusting God for that, and working and trying to be actively involved with change, being change agents in our country, and in our lives. I want God to bless me to transform my life so that I'm closer in my relationship with God, And so I challenge all of us to do that very thing that we talked about that helps to prevent a dry relationship, to communicate, to commit, to have intimacy with God, to renew that first love, to look at and establish trust, knowing that, you know, if we say we're going to do something, we need to do it. We're only as good as our word. And then to restore the foundations, you know, the things that we told God in the beginning that we wanted to do, and to begin to grow in that and not stay in the same place, but to stop dog paddling and to be progressive and move forward in our relationship with God. I ask for prayer for my own personal journey as well, and opportunities, other job opportunities, business opportunities.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Let's don't forget let's don't forget President Obama and his wife Michelle their family.
Yeah, ex-President Obama. Amen. What about everybody healthy, finances? Let's add that to the list that we would have health and finance. I ask that for my family, James, Sydney, and myself, and my loved ones. And then
Amen.
You can go ahead when you are ready, when you're ready, Brother James.
God, we thank you for making a way for us, even in the desert, in the dry places, in the depressed times in our lives, in the times when we feel oppressed, times when we feel alone, times when we feel like we can't make it. And God, even in those times, you make a way. And we are so grateful for you saving us and allowing us to be in this relationship. And God, we pray that we would value it all the days of our lives and that this relationship would grow. Help us to grow. And God, we know that you forgive us when we ask for forgiveness, and you put our sins far away from us as far as the east is from the west. And I'm so grateful for that, because we've made a lot of mistakes and you still love us, and you love us with a compassionate, intimate love that defies our imagination and understanding. God, we lift up our country to you today. We are concerned, but we know that you're in control and in charge, and Satan will not prevail. God, we want to lift up Mark to you, and we want to lift up his business and his family, and we want to lift up Sean and Lester and his business, and want to lift up everyone that's on the phone lines for their health and their strength and their finances. We want to lift up our country in a special way in Congress and the new president. We ask you to help us to be change agents, and we pray for our closer walk with you. God, we pray for just to be closer, just to be close to you, Lord. That song that used to be sang, just to be close to you. We want to be so close. And God, we pray for our ex-President Obama and his family and Michelle. And we pray for those that are on the line, those that may be wondering what they need to do to be saved, what they need to do to be a part of your family. And confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. And there are many gifts and talents that God will give you, the Holy Spirit will give you. But we are just praying that you would confess right now and give your life to Christ and be a part of this family and walk in relationship with God and grow in that relationship. Thank you for Dr. Susan teaching us tonight. And we pray that you would just bless her in a special way. Bless her family, bless her finances, bless her job, bless her business intentions, new business opportunities. God, we just ask you just to be overflowing in your blessings to her, for she blesses us. Thank you for this night and for your teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.